Welcome back. This is session 30. You're coming to the end of this class. Six more sessions. Today, I want you to note the title of this session. It's Going on the Offense, the Personal Battle. And what we're going to do in this session is acknowledge that all of us have experienced a personal battle with the enemy. And I just want to begin by reading a short part of an article I found online this past week. And it's simply about this man, whose name is Michael Vorek. Now, Michael Vorek resigned. The founder of the controversial conservative Catholic website Church Militant has resigned at the request of the group for breaching its morality clause. According to a news release published by Church Militant on Tuesday, Michael Boris, who founded the group in 2006, has left the organization. Michael Boris has been asked to resign for breaching the Church Militant Morality Clause, read the news release from the group, which is also known as St. Michael's Media. The board has accepted his resignation. And later it says, neither Boris nor Church Militant immediately responded to requests for comment. But Boris posted a video Tuesday evening on X addressing the situation. Boris, visibly emotional, offered an apology but did not voluntary details about the reasons for his departure. Sometimes it takes very horrible events, even at your own hand, in your life, to surface certain things that need to be faced, Morris said. There are some very, very ugly truths from my past that I, for essentially 62 years, have avoided facing because I wanted them resolved. But I understand that touching that pain is going to be a very horrible thing. Morris said he thought multiple times this year about resigning. I need to conquer these demons, he said, referring both to what he called act-out demons and the underlying cause of it. It's that phrase that struck me. I need to conquer these demons. Now, everybody is broken. We live in a broken world. Everybody I know of is broken in some way. And for many of those who have broken, they've created an opening for the work of the enemy that would keep us enslaved, that would keep us limited, that would keep us from engaging in the battle the way God wants us to. And so how does the enemy get in? Well, we've looked at some of those ways. And if any of them describe you, you should look and say, what are the demons down in me? And we talked last time briefly about this demonic influence scale. There's opposition. We all have the opposition of the enemy. He always is opposing us. Then they can get influence, and most of us, maybe not quite, are experiencing his influence in our lives. And we have to, when we sin, go back and repent and go again. Some of us are experiencing oppression. And we've got to deal with these demons in our own selves before we can successfully deal with them in other people. And so I want to do that in this session, begin that in this session. But I want to do it by first introducing a song. You know by now that music is very important to me. And I want to share a song. It's called Mighty Warrior, which was very important to me and to my wife. When we went through a period where we felt like the enemy was on attack in our marriage and our family. And so we quoted words from this song quite often. It's called Mighty Warrior. Thank you. Still find myself saying those words of that song every once in a while. In fact, at some points, I will say to the enemy, "You have no authority here. You have no authority here. You have no authority in my life. You have no authority in my family." So I offer that to you as we begin to look at ourselves and where we may be needing. We may need to do a personal battle with the enemy. So with that in mind, let's get to it. James 4, verse 7 is the theme. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now remember, we're talking about this scale: opposition, influence, oppression, obsession, control, possession. Now this is primarily for those of us who are in one of those first two or three areas, that we're experiencing the opposition of the enemy, or we're experiencing his influence in our lives, or we're feeling oppressed by his presence and feel like he's keeping us from becoming what God wants us to be or doing what God wants us to do. Now, I'm deeply dependent in this next section for writing by this man, Chip Ingram is his name. And he, in one of his publications, gave biblical steps for deliverance. In other words, these are steps for us to be sure that we have dealt with the demons within us. Step number one is accept Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, we've looked at several indications where people who were inside the church were being, in some respect, influenced by or sometimes controlled by the enemy. I mean, it must have been shocking for Peter to have Jesus turn to him and say, "Get behind me, Satan." Pointing probably to Peter, or maybe not even pointing, but "Get behind me," equating Peter with Satan. Whew, that must have been incredible. It must have been amazing for Peter to look at Ananias, and you remember Ananias, who brings an amount of offering to the church, but he lied about it. And he said, Peter said, how could Satan put it into your heart to try to deceive the Holy Spirit? How did it get in here? Well, there are those who suggest it's because he gets in where we're not fully committed to him. And so accepting Jesus as Savior, and some people say, you've got to take that next step. One man I was reading talking about dealing with somebody who was being very disruptive within the church, and they began to talk about, is Jesus your Lord? In other words, is he your commander? Is he the one who tells you where to go, what to do, who you are, what you are to be? And she said, I've never heard of this concept before, of Jesus being not just our Savior from sin, but he's the Lord of our lives. We've given him our entire lives, and we invite him in to control us through the power of Holy Spirit. That's the first step. Say, Lord, come in. Come in and clean out. This is very important. Jesus told that one parable where he says, you've got to watch it. If you clear a demon out, demons out of a person, then if they're not filled with something, what happens? The demon comes back and says, oh, look, it's all cleaned and it's free. And he invites seven more to come in and live with him. Accept Jesus as Lord. Repeatedly say, God, you are the Lord of my life. I invite you in to clear out my life and make me entirely and totally yours. Secondly, repent of any known sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is not a one-time thing. This is something that we do repeatedly. We confess our sins. Word confess means to say the same thing as. And so we're going to call sin in our lives sin. We're not going to excuse it saying, well, it's because of this. We confess our sins, repent of it. We do that repeatedly. We do it as part of our daily, or at least every other day or so, life. Lord, search me, know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. We pray that prayer. We say, God, come in. Show me my sins so that I might clear it out. I don't want to create any way for the enemy to get into my life. Confess and repent. Repent means to turn away from. Renounce the works of the devil. Paul writes to the Corinthians. Rather, he says, we're not doing this wicked stuff. We've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We renounce the works of the devil. If you've seen him at work in your life, if you've experienced him at work in your life, you can say, in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, I renounce you. Now, early baptism people in the church used to be required to do that. They would enter the baptismal font and they would face east. And they would, or face west to the setting sun, and they would say, I renounce the devil and all of his works. And then they would, and I receive Jesus Christ into my life as they turned around. It's a good practice, renouncing the works of the devil, because you'll see him show up in your life. You'll see him trying to influence you. Renounce the works of the devil. Destroy occult objects or limit accessibility. For those of you who have been in the occult, you've got to get that stuff out of your house. You've got to destroy it. Not just toss it in the trash, destroy it. And then I put down limit accessibility. I think of some people that were talking about how do you deal with pornography in your life. And one place you got to do is limit it. And so, you know, one person on his TV began to knock off channels that he would usually go to before this. Put them out on his computer. He put a filter on it that wouldn't allow him to access those areas that would draw him back into the presence of the evil one. This is for you. Biblical step for deliverance. Begin to limit accessibility where the demon gets into you. Break unholy friendships. Doesn't mean you've got to try to escape the world. You're not going to do this. But there are some people who draw you more into the presence of God, and there are some that draw you away from it. Break those friendships. Rest in Christ's deliverance. In other words, I'm not a slave anymore. That's one of the songs I'll play occasionally. I'm not a slave anymore. I've been set free. Resist the devil. When you see him coming, say, oh, I've been here before. I know you. You can't fool me. Get away from me. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, as the book of James. Renew your mind. In other words, we're not to be conformed any longer, that Romans 12:1 passage, any longer to this world that's under the rule of Satan. We're not to be conformed, pressed into its mold, but we are to be renewed by transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? Well, we spend time reading Scripture. We spend time engaging with other believers. We spend time involved in the work God has given us in His mission. And all of these things are part of renewing our minds. And for me, it's accountability. I've got one person in particular that we spend time. We live in different parts of the country, and we spend time every month together. Anything that's happening, what can I pray for you? Where do you see? Or do you see things in your life that aren't the way you want them to be? Okay, the next one, after renewing your mind, is to pray with others. This is something you can do by yourself in some respects, but the more people you have involved in it praying with you and for you, the more effective it's going to be. And so praying with others becomes a vitally important part of your renewal in Jesus Christ. And then finally, if it's needed, exorcise. Get somebody involved with you that is known to do this and is experienced in doing it. And if you feel like the foothold is so deep, you've held on to bitterness for so very long that you can't imagine what life is going to be like without it, it's time to rip it out and to cast it out. And if you can't do that yourself, you've got the power and authority, and it may work, but boy, it's going to work more effectively if you've got somebody there who knows how to do it and is experienced with it. I love this cartoon I came across. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Or I like the fact that not just flee, but he's being kicked out. I want you to pause for just a moment. I've given you a list of things that you can do. And, it's a workable list. It's something that, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the power to do. And it's going to make you effective in your work with others if you've experienced deliverance. And so, gather with some people of like mind. Maybe study this stuff together, so that together you're approaching freedom. Freedom. You know, I showed you that Roman arrangement some time back, the testudus arrangement, where they all have their shields kind of locked together and then over the top, so that, you know, any arrows from the enemy can't get in from the top, any attack can't get in from the front, any attack can't get in from the back, because you're all solidly together. The church can be that. The church, represented by people in your life that you know and you love and you trust, can be that with you and for you. But wow, pride gets in our way. I know this. Pride can get in our way. And as a result, we don't want somebody to know. They might think less of me. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me, I have to say, is when I became aware of the work of the enemy in my life, but only when it came close to destroying my life and my marriage. And by God's grace, I had 7 men who came to me, individually, not together, and each of them said, "We're not going to let you go through this alone. We're going to walk with it together." And that effect of the 7 of them gathering around me, and they were people from various faith backgrounds, or people I'd met over the long. There was a black Pentecostal pastor who would pray for me loudly in restaurants when we met. There was the person who was from a denomination whose theology is very different from mine, and yet he said, "I'm going to be with this in you." There were friends who came and said, "We're not going to let you go through this alone. We're with you in this." And by God's grace, I was set free and my marriage restored. And ministry was restored to me after a period of time. And thank God. I want you to experience that freedom not only, but I want the kingdom to experience you as a mighty warrior, dressed for battle, and be able to say with authority that comes from inside you because the Spirit's in you, "You have no authority here," to our enemy. And then to see Satan fall like lightning. Huh? What a moment that must have been for Jesus. Picture how lightning falls. To see it happen. Oh, may you experience that more and more fully in your life with him. Join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, come now. Fill us, fill us, fill us. For those who are listening who have experienced some of the woundedness that we've talked about and have experienced the work of the enemy, maybe even today are experiencing, set them free, Lord. I pray for it in the name of Jesus. And I command any of the armies of the enemy who have been deployed to limit anyone who's listening to this, I command you to free that person. Go to Jesus, that he might direct you as he sees fit. Lord, come and fill us, come and use us, so your kingdom may come. We pray in Jesus' name for your glory and honor. Amen. See you next time when we turn to helping others.